If you notice, the last verse that we read, verse 37, actually the last phrase tonight is the title and theme of my message. And again, I want to look at it from a little bit different way, where Jesus told this lawyer that was talking to him, after answering his question, "Who is my neighbor?" He says, "Go thou and do likewise." Go thou and do likewise. A command, I think, that he was not only giving this lawyer, but a command that he would give to every one of us as well today. And it's a command, again, that he gave at the end of a story that he told in answer to a question, who is my neighbor? The lawyer came and asked, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus answered that question with a question. He said, well, what do you read in the scripture? How do you understand it? And the lawyer answered with the greatest and the second greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, according to Christ, was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. And this lawyer, again, quoted those two commandments in answers to Jesus' question. He says, you've answered right. Just go out and do it and live. And then the lawyer said, and again, it says, willing to justify himself. He said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, well, let me tell you. And he tells this story about the certain man that went down to Jericho. We don't know much about the man. We don't know his name. We don't know what kind of standing he had in the community. We don't know his economic standing. But he was going to Jericho. Jericho in that day was a place that people went to retire. It was sort of a resort town. It was also a medical center. They had some plants that grew there that they would use and mix up in a concoction that, if you go back and you read in the Bible dictionary or commentary about Jericho, it was renowned for the medicine that was produced there. And so I don't know if this man was going there as a place to retire. I don't know if he was going there to seek medical treatment. Jesus didn't tell us, just said that he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that he fell among thieves. And when we think about thieves, we usually think about bad guys that are like Jesus described in this story. I mean, today we would think of them, you know, guys with guns and knives and clubs. And apparently these were the kind of guys that this guy fell among, because they beat him, they stripped him of his clothes, they wounded him, they took his money, and they left him half dead. I've often wondered about that. Brother Leonard, sometime we're going to have to get together and talk about what the Bible means when it talks about being half dead. Brother Harry, how can you be half dead? I mean, you're either all the way dead or you're not dead. So, but anyhow, he was half dead. And again, when we read this story, and especially when we come to the end and Jesus says to us, go thou and do likewise, if we're not careful, what we will say, well, he's talking about people that I find along the side of the road that have been beaten, robbed, stripped, left for half dead. And I don't know about you, but I'm 61 and a half years old, and I have never, ever seen anybody on the side of the road beaten, stripped, and left for half dead. Now, I have known two people that have been robbed. They weren't beaten. My grandmother was robbed one time. She lived on the east side of Detroit, and she was walking to work one day. She worked at a cleaner's, and she was walking to work, and two teenage boys stole her purse. Didn't hurt her in any way, but they did steal her purse. And then we were at some conference, I think down in Atlanta, and one of the guys that we were at the conference with was walking to the hotel, and somebody came up and stole his watch, his wallet, and his coat. But again, he was not beaten. And so, I don't know about you, but I have never, ever seen anybody that was beaten, bleeding, laying on the side of the road that had been robbed, left for half dead. And so if I literally take Jesus' command and say, go thou and do likewise, and I wait until I see somebody that's been beaten, robbed, and left for half dead, I'm not going to be doing too much what Jesus said to do. So I got to thinking. I've not known anybody that's been robbed in that way. But I have known people that have been robbed. I know a lot of widows that have been robbed by death of their spouse, their partner, their lover, their best friend, who spend most of their time alone, who spend most of their time without company, who spend most of their time missing their partner of a lifetime. I haven't known anybody that's been robbed and beaten and left half dead on the side of the street, but I know people of all ages, young and old, all in between, that have been robbed by sickness or disease of their health. And they fight cancer or leukemia, heart problems, diabetes, or some other disease. They don't feel good most of the time. They don't get to do all the things they want to do. They spend a lot of time, effort, and money just fighting for their next breath, fighting for life. I've never known anybody that has been beaten and left for half dead at the side of the road, but I've known several people that are that have been paralyzed. They've been robbed by an accident of the use of their bodies, and they live in a wheelchair, and maybe can move their head, maybe can move one of their hands. Brother Clint, I was thinking about Brother Dave this week. The Lord just brought him to mind, and I thought about that day we took him out to Kate's Pond and baptized him in his wheelchair. But I've known other folks like Brother Dave Tyler, who was confined to a wheelchair, robbed of things that most of us take for granted. Simple things like taking a walk or bathing, getting dressed by ourselves, or just simply standing up and reaching our arms toward heaven and stretching. I've not known anybody that's been beaten and left at the side of the road for half dead, but I've known a lot of teenagers and young adults that have been robbed by the wrong crowd and a wrong habit, that got in trouble and messed up their life, and they've been robbed of the future that God wanted them to have and been robbed of His perfect will for their life. Haven't known anybody that's been beaten and left for half dead by the side of the road, but I've known a lot of young dads and moms, young couples, that are being robbed by the demands of life. They're trying to balance their time and budget to make their ends meet. They're both working and they're struggling to make the house payment and the car payment and the insurance payment, trying to raise their kids, and they've been robbed of time together, robbed of time alone, robbed of time just to relax and regroup. And I could go on tonight, but I hope you get my drift. I could list other people. Again, haven't been beaten, haven't been left by the side of the road half dead, but they are people that have been beaten. They are people that are wounded. They are people that sometimes feel like they are half dead. Haven't been beaten by the bad guys with guns and knives and clubs, but by life and what it dishes out and what it brings day to day, and the heartaches and the hurts and the sorrows that come just in normal living. And they're not physically lying by the side of the road, but they've been wounded. They've been wounded emotionally. They've been wounded perhaps physically. They've been wounded spiritually. And they've been robbed by a thief. And again, I mentioned some of them, and they've been left for half dead. Now, in the story of Jesus, three people come by. A priest, one that led worship, one that was supposed to point people to God, one that offered the sacrifices. As I've read this, it doesn't say what kind of priest it was. I assume most people think it was a Jewish priest, but Bible doesn't say. The priest was supposed to be a religious person, supposed to be a godly person, supposed to point people to God. And Jesus said when that priest came, he saw that wounded man, and he passed by on the other side of the road. And I think this priest represents many religious people today that misunderstand what religion is supposed to be all about. Religion and the purpose of religion is to not make us feel good about ourselves. Brother Don told me tonight when I came in, he said, "Preacher, I really appreciated your sermon this morning. He said, you know, if I come to church for 3 or 4 weeks and don't get my toes stepped on, I begin to think there's something wrong. And he says, I needed the message this morning. And I said, thank you, Brother Don, for saying that. But religion is not supposed to make us feel good about ourselves. It's not something that we take pride in. It's not something that we hide in. It doesn't matter the title that it has. It doesn't matter if you're a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Catholic or Episcopalian or even a Muslim. A religion that takes you to the other side of the road is not much of a religion. A religion that causes you to go over and look and maybe say, hey, I'll pray for you, and that's it, and then walk away, leaving that wounded person right where you found him, is not the kind of religion that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a religion that strengthens us so that we can go out and find hurting, half-dead people and say to them, let me help you. Let me bind up your wounds. Let me pour in the oil. Let me put you on my donkey. Let me take you to the end. Let me care for you. And when I have to leave to tell the host of the end, take care of them. If you spend more, I'll settle the account when I come back. And again, I use the term religion loosely. It could be said for many Christians today. We're the other side of the road kind of Christians. We don't want to get involved. We see hurting people and we say, well, hey, we'll pray for you, but we pass over on the other side of the road and we leave them in the same condition that we found them. That's not the kind of Christian that Jesus wants us to be. Jesus never saw a hurting person and passed to the other side of the road. When nobody would touch the leper, he said, I'll touch you and I'll make you clean. When nobody would help the poor and feed the hungry, it was Jesus that did it. And the kind of religion I want is the kind of religion he had that reached out to hurting people and say, I love you and I want to help you. And by the way, the only place that you find that kind of religion is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we love, what does the Bible say? Because he first loved us. You say, preacher, are you saying that Baptists are the only ones that can be saved? No. I think there'll be some Episcopals in heaven. I think there'll be some Catholics in heaven. I think there'll be some Lutherans in heaven. There'll be some Pentecostals in heaven. And hopefully there'll be some Baptists in heaven. But listen, I don't care what kind of title we wear. If our Christianity takes us to the other side of the road, it's not much Christianity. It's not much Christianity. There was a second guy that passed by, a Levite, one that came from a special family, a family of privilege. The nation catered to these guys. They were well-educated and had the best jobs. They had it made. They had a family name. And the Bible says this man came and looked, passed by on the other side. You see, privilege and position given to us by God is not given to us just so that we can enjoy. It is given to us by God to be used to search out the wounded and the hurting and the half-dead. I would submit to you tonight that all of us have privilege. There is something that God has blessed us with that would put us in that category. It may be a talent. It may be money. It may be a disposition. It simply may be time. 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 And again, it's not given just so that we can enjoy it for ourselves. It's not given just so that we can keep it to ourselves. God gives us privilege so that we can reach out to those that are hurting and help them. And then Jesus said, there was a third person that came by, a Samaritan. And from an ethnic standpoint, this was a half-breed, half Jew, half something else. The Jews referred to them as dogs. They would not even pass through their part of the country. When Jesus sat at the well he did something that most Jews would not. Most Jews passed, went around, made a big detour around that country, but Jesus passed right through it. From a religious standpoint, they were on the wrong side of the tracks. They worshiped the wrong God in the wrong temple and had the wrong Bible. And of the three that Jesus put in this story, this would have been the least likely one that we would expect to be a good neighbor. Bible says that the Samaritan came to where the wounded man was. So did the other two. He saw him. So did the other two. But he did something the other two did not. The Bible said he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. He saw a hurting, wounded person. And he said, that's somebody that needs my help. And here's how I think we have compassion on other people. We realize that person that's laying there wounded, naked, beaten, half dead, that could be me. Could be me. It could be my brother. It could be my son. If it was me, or if it was a person that I loved, what would I want? I would want whoever passed by not only to come to where they were, not only to see them, but to have compassion on them. The Bible says he went to them. The other two crossed the road, but he went in the opposite direction. He bound up the wounds. He poured in oil and wine. Again, this wasn't a man that was a religious leader. Shoot, he had the wrong religion. This wasn't a man that had a family of honor. He was a dog, according to the Jews, a half-breed. But he had compassion. Thank God. Thank God. There's still people today with compassion that see people that are hurting and go to them and say, I'm going to help. When Jesus says, go thou and do likewise, if we literally take him at this story and say, well, okay, Lord, every person I see beaten, wounded, half dead on the side of the road, I will go and stop, have compassion, and be a neighbor. But again, I'm 61 years old, and I've never run across a person beaten, wounded, naked, half dead. So what does it mean today to go thou and do likewise? Maybe it means calling up a widow or a widower and say, hey, let's go to lunch. Let's just go out to lunch and have a good time fellowshipping. Maybe it means calling up somebody that has cancer that's got to go for a chemo treatment. Say, I'll go with you. Or I'll take you for your next test. I'll not only pray for you, but I'll come pick you up and we'll go together. Maybe it's going to a rest home and spending the afternoon going from room to room, asking the people that work there, tell me the people that never get any company. Tell me the people that don't have any family. Tell me the people that never have any visitors. Those are the ones that I want to go and spend some time with. Maybe it's going to a teenager or a young person. It's made a bad decision. They got caught up in the wrong crowd and they got caught up in the wrong habit. Maybe it's going to them and just sitting down with them and saying, hey, look, I want to encourage you. God's not done with you. He's always got a plan B for your life. Yeah, maybe you've messed up a little bit, but God still loves you. And he still has a perfect plan for your life. And you can find it. You can find God's will for your life if you look for it. Maybe it's going to a young couple that's struggling, both working two jobs, trying to make ends meet, and giving them $20 and saying, hey, I'll babysit for you tonight. you guys go out and get a pizza, go to a movie, have some time by yourself. The world's not looking for Christianity that talks a good game. It's not looking for Christianity that crosses to the other side of the road. The world is looking for Christians that have compassion on the wounded, the hurting, and the half-dead. And in that compassion says, I am going to help you. I will take out my oil and my wine. I will take out my bandages. I will put you on in my car, and I will take you to a place to care for you. That's the kind of Christianity the world is looking for. And so when Jesus said, go thou and do likewise, he wasn't just saying, okay, every half-dead, naked, beaten person you see by the side of the road, I want you to stop and be a good neighbor to them. He says, I want you to find hurting people. And they're all around us. They're all around us. I want you to find hurting people, and I want you to go love them. Not just pray for them. We ought to pray for them. Not just pray for them, but put your love to work. Help. Visit. Give. Let them know that you are a Christian that models the life of Christ. Go thou and do likewise. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth, even though the story was told over 2,000 years ago, how relevant it is for today. Because there are hurting people all around us that if we'd simply look, we'd see them. Father, help us not to look and just cross to the other side of the road, but help us to have compassion and love them. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they'd pay attention to the first part of the story where the lawyer asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, as he answered the question, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help them to understand tonight that the only hope that they have for heaven is in Jesus Christ. And I pray if there's just one person here tonight that's not sure they're on their way to heaven, Holy Spirit, you'd point their sin, point out to them their sin, point out to them there's a penalty on that sin, but that Jesus paid that penalty when he died on Calvary. And if they'd come with simple childlike faith and ask him, he would save them. And so, Father, again, if there's just one person here tonight that's never done it, I pray in just a second when we have the invitation, they would come. We could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be the kind of Christians that you want us to be. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.